Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Minutes past the hour, the smooth sounds of the Tower of Power. Speaking of Oakland, California, I got the scoop. Dave Chappelle, tomorrow night, Sunday, Yoshi's, two shows. Tickets are $55. You can't hear it nowhere else. You won't read this in the paper. You won't hear it on the radio. You're getting it from me because Dave sends me the emails. That's right. Dave Chappelle, Sunday, Oakland, California, Yoshi's, California, Yoshi's nightclub. You want to go. This is the place to go. It's a 300-seat nightclub. Tower of Power plays there. A lot of groups have played there. But tomorrow night, it'll be the man himself, Dave Chappelle. Dave decides a couple of days before to do these things. He calls like Yoshi's, hey, is Sunday night open? Yeah, I calls him like on a Thursday. Then they rock. So he comes out, does his thing in front of 300 people, tries new material, and then he goes back home to, I think, North Carolina. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. That is the entertainment side, folks. The cage fighting side. He is unbeaten. Formerly from the University of Oklahoma, I believe. Of course, he is the Strikeforce Grand Prix heavyweight champion. The great Daniel Cormier is our guest. Daniel, we are honored to have you on the show, sir.
How you guys doing, man? Oklahoma State University.
Oklahoma State.
Cowboys, not Sooners.
Okay, which one did Larry Merchant go to? Larry Merchant go to the Sooners, or did he go to your college?
He didn't go to Oklahoma State, so I only assume that he went to Oklahoma.
Okay. Daniel Cormier, of course, is unbeaten in the world of mixed martial arts, and of course, the gangster slapped Josh Barnett in a bit of an upset in a lot of in the minds of some odds makers, but not in the minds of the people, the wise guys in the world of MMA. I mean, Kyle was telling me you're going to win that fight. Different people from the Silicon Valley were telling me Cormier is going to win this fight. I go, yeah, but the size, everything's against him, you know. So, and the experience. So, talk to me about that fight. You went in there and you won every minute of every round.
Yeah, man, just you know, I owe a lot of that to my training partners in my gym. You know, I got a great gym, man. You know, and King Book probably was telling you because he's one of the guys that's in there working with me, helping me prepare for these fights. You know, mm-hmm. And they can tell when we're on and we're ready to go. And you know, it was a tough fight, so I trained really hard because I have a ton of respect for Josh. You know, I respect Josh so much that I knew that I had to train harder and longer than I ever did. So. I was in shape. My timing was good, and everything kind of came together on that night, man. I don't know if that's how I will fight in every big fight, but on that night, it all kind of came together.
Okay. Of course, April the 20th, you're taking on Frank Mir. Frank Mir, the former two-time USC heavyweight title holder in San Jose, California. You're fighting at home. Your homies will be there.
Yeah, I'm excited. You know, I was talking about I was talking to the guys at the gym about this just the other day. I said, you know, I fought in San Jose against Barnett. Then my last Strikeforce fight, I got to fight in Oklahoma where I went to school. I said, now I get to make my UFC debut back in San Jose. I said, the only guy that gets to fight in front of his crowds every time more than I do is George St. Pierre.
Good point.
He fights in Canada every time. George, so I'm lucky, man.
Okay, George St. Pierre is sort of looks stellar. I mean, he turned back Nick Diaz, got Nick Diaz to retire. Did you think that fight was going to be a little bit more competitive than it was, or is GSP just – that much better than everybody else at 170?
Well, I thought it would be a little more competitive on the feet. You know, George actually won the stand-up exchanges too, so that was surprising. But, you know, man, if you don't have a strong enough base to keep him off me from taking you down and he's able to dictate when the fight goes to the ground, where the fight goes to the ground, and where he fights all the time, he's too good a strategist to fight his fight. So, unless you have skills that can actually make him change his game plan, he's going to beat everybody.
Okay, in the early days of the UFC, we had people like Royce Gracie, very one-dimensional. I don't think he can make it nowadays. Now a fighter has to have all the skills, you know, the stand-up, the boxing, the ground and pound, the jiu-jitsu, the ability to work on the ground. How did you incorporate all these things with an amateur wrestling background?
Well, I mean, I started with the wrestling background, which I think is the best base for it, you know, because we know how to train. We've been through the grind of working hard through our college and international careers. And then, you know, once you learn all that stuff, you know, you start to learn to stand up, which is the toughest. But starting with a wrestling base, that's the best base because it's the hardest one to learn once you if you haven't been doing it because – like guys like me and guys like Gray Maynard and those guys, I mean, those guys have been wrestling since they were 5 years old. You know, you start wrestling at 24, 25 years old, it's kind of hard to keep up with a guy that's been doing it for 20 years, you know, with the balance and everything else. So I had this strong base in wrestling and just really focus on everything else, you know, and without actually stopping wrestling. I still wrestle a ton because you have to keep that skill sharp. Otherwise, it's going to kind of go away a little bit.
Okay, April the 20th, you take on Frank Mir. Now, Frank Mir was in the studio about a month ago, and this is what he had to say.
Well, you know, I think that he's becoming a very capable striker, and he's starting to enjoy it. I still don't think that he realizes, you know, high-level striking of the UFC guys. I think that eventually, no matter what happens, he's going to go for a shot and go for a takedown. And then, you know, on the ground, I just don't see him simulating. I think actually fighting Josh Barnett was probably a bad thing for him because he might feel a certain amount of confidence by going to the ground with me. And the difference is, you know, Barnett and I are a little different. You know, Barnett's a great grappler. I just don't think he has the same finishing abilities that I do. I have a who's who on when I catch a hold of a limb. I don't think anybody's going to, you know, whether they like me or not, they're not going to argue about the fact that I don't finish fights when I get a hold of something.
Okay, Daniel, what do you have to say about what Frank just said?
He's right. You know, he finishes fights, and, you know, I mean, this is kind of standard for what's been going on in the last couple of weeks. His interviews are starting to come out, and, you know, he's just being Frank Mir, real cocky and arrogant, and, you know, he's going to be in for a big surprise. You know, I just really don't believe he thinks I'm that good, you know, which is which works to my benefit because I'm going to beat his ass, and then he's going to he'll be in for quite a surprise when we get in that cage. This is his thing. You know, he kind of tries to get under your skin and get you riled up so that hopefully, you know, game plan goes out of the window or you fight more to his strengths. But that won't work with me. You know, I'm a lot smarter than Frank in every sense of the word. And when we get in the cage, you'll see that I'm a better fighter too. You know, so there's no level difference in the guys fighting the strike force and in the UFC. You've seen it as the guys have moved over to the UFC and won almost all of their fights. So Frank's going to see, you know, he's going to have to eat his words, but he really doesn't. You know, even when he talks like that and gets his butt kicked, he still behaves the same way going into his next fight.
He's,
you know,
Frank.
Yeah, he is who he is. That's how he is.
He's Frank Mir. I mean, he talks the talk, and he gets people interested, and he instills controversy in places where there isn't any controversy. But he says you're too small. He says at 265, he's going to throw you around like a rag doll. I mean, that's what he thinks. Talk to me.
Well, I mean, you know, there's a lot of guys that think that. You know, I only weigh 235 pounds. You know, I'm not very tall. Those guys are big guys, but, you know, I fought a guy that was 285 in Australia. I fought Soa Pelele, who just re-signed to the UFC. He was about 280. I beat Bigfoot Silva, who's another big guy. I beat a lot of big guys. You know, Frank, all the things that Frank is saying, you know, this is nothing new. This is kind of typical Frank for his fight pre-fight buildup. Mm-hmm. But again, like I said, you know, this is what he does, and then even if he gets his ass kicked, it won't change. You know, he never he's going to do it again, and then he's going to get beat up again. And Frank talks, then Frank gets beat, and then Frank continues to talk. You know, so I don't know what world he lives in. You know, I don't know what world he lives in where, you know, getting your butt kicked doesn't humble you a little bit. But maybe this one will do it. Maybe after this one, you know. Brock did it to him. He talked about Brock, got his butt beat, and still talked about Brock. He talks about Junior Dos Santos now, even though Junior Dos Santos just beat him, you know, so he doesn't really respect many people at all.
Okay, change the subjects for a second. You brought up the Giant Silva, of course. You beat him, and now he's going to fight Cain Velasquez in a second fight. He just got annihilated by Cain like a year ago in one of the most bloody matches I'd ever seen in combat sports. I mean, what gives the Giant Silva the confidence to go after Cain Velasquez again?
Well, I think the thing that makes Bigfoot confident is that he's a fighter. You know, regardless of what you say about Bigfoot Silva, you know, he got beat up by me, he got beat up by Cain back-to-back, came in and kind of was brought in to lose to Travis Brown, went in and knocked that kid out. He was undefeated at the time. And then, you know, Overeem, you know, knocked Overeem out. So, you know, like, he's a fighter, and I think that gives him confidence to think that he'll be able to fight Cain, but nothing's going to change. That's going to be the same kind of fight. Cain's going to take him down, beat him up, and I don't even see it going out of the first round again.
Are you giving your child electric shocks in the background there or what?
My son's sitting here watching Up, the movie Up, and eating popcorn. So he got excited a little bit. I don't know what happened.
Daniel Cormier is our guest, folks. April the 20th, he is in the main event. That's right. The eyes of the world will be on him when UFC and Fox TV go to the HP Pavilion, the house that Daniel built. That's what he hopes to call that place after April the 20th. Of course, he'll be fighting in front of his hometown people. Now, Gilbert Melendez, the ex-Strikeforce lightweight champion, and Benson Henderson, they'll be fighting as well. Gilbert's from San Francisco. We should have a pretty good crowd down there, huh?
Oh, yeah. They said the tickets are going well right now. You know, the first couple times the UFC came, the first time did fair. The second time when Munoz fought Weidman didn't do very well. I think fight fans were kind of coming down from the Chael Sonnen and Anderson Silva fight. It was the Wednesday after. And it was in the middle of the week, so it didn't do that well. And now this one's doing very, very good in the ticket sales. And it's going to be packed. I mean, I've got 30 people coming from Louisiana. I've got people coming from Oklahoma. So there'll be a pretty big group of people there to watch me fight. I'm excited.
You brought up Weidman. Isn't Sean his first name?
Chris Weidman.
He looks like the real deal. He's never been taken off his feet in a UFC match, ever.
And he won't. He's going to present a lot of problems for Anderson Silva. I mean, Weidman is a good wrestler, which has been Anderson's kind of kryptonite with Chael Sonnen showed that if you're a good wrestler, you can take him down and you can hold him down. And not only is Weidman a good wrestler, but he took Munoz down 5 times. Mark Munoz is an NCAA wrestling champion, and he made Mark look like he hadn't even wrestled before. So I'm excited about that fight. You know, I'm going pretty far out there saying that I think Chris Weidman's going to be the guy that beat Anderson Silva, because not only is he a good wrestler and can take him down, he has strong finishing ability, and he also has good jiu-jitsu.
Yep.
You know, so he's not going to fall into any submissions late in the fight.
You know what's funny? When he fought Munoz, I was the only guy on press row to pick him to win, and I thought maybe, like, what did I do here? No, I thought he would win, and he won easily. Anyway, Daniel Cormier, all the best to April 20th. Hope to have you back before then, but good luck, HP Pavilion, UFC on Fox TV, Frank Mira standing across the cage. May God be with you. Have a good day, sir.